Hey, let's review real quick so that we can catch up where we're at. What are we talking about? You can cheat. Go ahead, cheat. It's all right. Just tonight, though. Mom's cool. The family plan, and we're talking about relationships, how we connect with God and others, and what was the most important thing, the first thing we got to do? Very good. We know the first thing. That's awesome. Anybody know? God, yes. Thank you, Sarah. All right. One of our leaders was listening. That was great. So we have to build our relationships on God, the most important thing. And then God loves us so much and says, relationships mean so much to me in your life that I'm going to give you something. What do you decide to give us? Yes, families, but before that, pre that, to help us navigate these relationships. The Bible. Yeah. This owner's manual that's helping us figure out relationships. Awesome. And then we looked at family, and what are some things that we learned from the Bible about family? It's important. It is. Thank you. It is very important. Anybody know? What? Honor them. What does honor mean? Anybody remember? Honor? What? To respect them. How? This word honor meant something. You guys remember? What? Yes, we're supposed to obey them and we show them respect through that. Basically, honor meant that we would like show them their value. We'd appraise them and say, this is how much you're worth and my actions in life is going to reflect that because I love you enough that I want to show you that. And so we honor our parents in the way we live, the way we respect them and honor them and obey them. And there was a responsibility that we saw with family that we had. It wasn't just like eat my waffles and bacon in the morning and then like cool mom, peace out. There was a responsibility that we had. You remember what that was? We have to talk to him. Yes, that is true. We said that you're worse than an unbeliever if you don't do this. You remember what that was? Take care of them. Yeah. You're like, me in high school, I'm supposed to like take care of my family and provide for them. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Before your family should have to show up at House of Hope, you know who the first person should be that is trying with everything they have to help your family? You. Me. Your family. And God says, the first person, the first line of defense for your family is you. And so this is a big responsibility you have with them. Next, we talked about Matt Denier showed up, remember? You guys are like so, I don't know if you're dead or just mean. You just look mean. I'm looking at you, I'm saying mean faces. Smile a little bit. Wake up. Matt Denier was our guest speaker, and Matt Denier talked about something. Do you remember what it was? Friends. What about friends? This is such like, I feel like, what? Hanging with the right crowd. Thank you. I need to get Junior high up here. They know like every single answer. I think you guys know them. But you just are too scared from, I don't know, whatever. Yes, hanging with the right crowd. We'll try to just finish this up because this is going fabulously. And finally, last week I talked about, can you remember a whole week back? Does anyone remember what we talked about last week? Please, somebody. Huh? Yes, if that's the one thing you took home, I am a total failure. I got stuck in a wall. What? Valuing other people. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Peer pressure. Talked about peer pressure. We talked about making sure that you are not letting other people value or tell you your value. And that you're not telling other people what their value is because that makes you a slave to them. But that you're going, God, I want to find out from you what my value is and let God be the one who determines that. Make yourself a servant of God instead. Okay, we got there. So hopefully that apparently was needed. It was a good review. open up to Colossians chapter 3. How about we do that? Can we go there? Colossians chapter 3. As you're, doing whatever you do to get Colossians 3. I had a buddy, and he was actually here a couple years ago. You guys might remember him. His name was Ricky. He was here, and he preached for me one night or one morning. Ricky, I knew in college. We went way back. And in college, I hung out with this group of guys that I thought they were really, really cool. They were pretty cool. And I hung out with them because I wanted to be really, really cool, and I wasn't. But so I hung out with this group of guys, and Ricky wasn't, let's say, in the group. Ricky was a little different. He had these big buck teeth and this huge smile that he would just never stop smiling. And we thought it was goofy because the dude always smiled. And we were like, bro, you have something wrong with you. You're like the Joker. Like, you never stop smiling. It was just weird. And it weirded us out. And his big buck teeth weirded us out. And so we were like, stop hanging out with us. Like, they literally would like try to do things to avoid him and get away from him. And I thought they were cool. So I followed them. And they even came up with some mean names because he was always like that guy who wanted to hang out with us. They were so original and creative too, let me tell you. It was a stalker boy. That was literally like how we knew him, as stalker boy. And another dude came up with a name for him. He was Smiley Guy. Smiley, because he never stopped. Like, and then I was super creative because of his buck teeth. I called him Horse Teeth. Like, that was it. I just called him Horse Teeth. And poor Ricky. Like, it's all I could say is poor Ricky. I literally would not hang out with this guy because my friends were like, he's too cool. Like, he's not cool enough to hang with us. Let's diss this guy. Like, he's a dork. Girls won't hang out with us because this guy's with us. So we just like wouldn't hang out with Ricky. We're so mean to him. And thank God that Ricky didn't have a heart that was like bitter or unforgiving. Because to this day, if I were to tell you or had to tell you where these other friends were, I have no idea. Like, I could probably go on Facebook and find out, but I have zero idea, and I haven't really cared that much to even look him up on Facebook. Like, you could tell what a lasting value my friendship was with the cool guys. But to this day, Ricky's one of my best friends in the world. And I wouldn't have ever told you that would have happened in college. I'd be like, I'm not hanging out with that guy. But now I realize the heart and that smile that Ricky had was because he had the heart of Christ in him. And he's taught me something over 10 years of knowing him about looking like Christ in my relationships. That smile was because he loved Jesus. No matter what we said to him, no matter what we did to him, he would always come back with that smile to the point where it freaked us out. And we're like, bro, you should be mad right now. Stop smiling. This is weird. You know, like, you're a loser. Hey, guys. I'm like, that's weird. People should be mad right now. And he just wouldn't. But there was something different about Ricky. Like, the way he forgave, the way he just showed us mercy. And to this day, I'll tell you what, like, that was a lasting relationship. That one paid off, and that's a friend that would last. And, you know, to be honest, if we were all to ask ourselves tonight, like, what kind of friend do you want? Nobody's going to be like, hey, I want to make a new friend. He'd be like, hey, you want to be friends for like a week and then never talk again? Like, that'd be awesome. Let's just 1 week. Like, nobody would want that. That's just stupid. We want to be friends with people that matter. You know, some of you girls are like, you meet a new friend, and you're like, hey, you know, like, we hit it off really well. We have a lot in common. So then you start planning like your whole life, like, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a doctor, and then we're going to rule the world, and we're going to have this many kids, we're going to have this, and all this like craziness, like best friends, we're besties for life, you know, like, it just goes like that. All of a sudden you're planning life because we naturally want to have friends that are going to actually be our friends, and it's going to last. Nobody wants to be friends with someone who's going to stab you in the back and walk away. Like, who wants that? So here's the question, like, as we talk about relationships, there's an honest question we seriously have to stop and ask ourselves. What kind of friends do we want? And how do we get that kind of friend? How do we get a friend that actually is going to last? A friendship that's really going to matter. So Paul talks to us about that tonight in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. Hopefully you guys are there. It says this, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. See that phrase? Binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You know, we live in this like Facebook world. Like, that's what we do now. And so when I ask you like about your friends, most people, you think that you're successful in the whole friend area if you have a lot of them. You're like, yeah, I got like 8,000 followers on my Instagram or whatever, like your Twitter and Tweeter and your dumb and diddle-dee and all the other things you got going on, Snapchat and chat and whatever. I don't know. There's a billion things. And so you're like doing all these things. And the way you judge it is by like, look at how many people are like looking at my stuff, my comments, my blog, and all these things. And it's about quantity. It's about like how many people we can call friend. I had this girl from college who now is apparently some like famous Christian singer, but I still haven't really heard many of her songs. So I don't know how famous she is, but she thinks she is. So I knew her in college, so she sends me an invitation to be her friend. And as I go to like do my little clicky thing, you can tell I'm not great on Facebook. I was going to click on it. I see a note that says like, I've run out of room on my friend list. So like, you can still be part of my fans, my fan club or something like that. Like, I'm like, you can run out of room on your friend list? Like, that doesn't even make sense. And why'd you invite me to be your friend if you don't have any room on your list? You know, like, that makes no sense. It made no sense. But that's the ideology that we have today. Yeah, I'm successful. I have a lot of friends. I'm popular because I get a lot of them. Who wants a whole lot of friends if all of them have a knife to stab in your back? That's a lot of knives in the back. I'd rather have just a few real, true friends that are going to lift me up and push me towards Christ than a whole bunch that just are going to tear you up. But that's not our world. That's not our culture. That's not what you're being told. Have a lot of them. Be patted on the back. Have people praise you and worship you and the whole deal. And then you know you've really made it. Because you get a lot of friends. Paul's not saying that. It's not what we see in Scripture. Look at verse 12. He says this phrase, put on then. What does that sound like when you put on? What is that? What does it usually talk about? Clothes. Yeah, like remember they didn't change clothes a lot. They didn't have many clothes, so they wear them for a long time and it'd be like smelly and nasty and disgusting and like really, really gross. You ever smelled Matt after like 4 days of work and he comes into firehouse and you're like, oh, you can smell him across the room. It's nasty. Like, go change your clothes. You reek. You smell. That's not the one, by the way. I'm picking on Matt. You go and you change your clothes and you're like, you know, for some of you guys, this is the equivalent of like homecoming. You guys, you put on your tie, you look all studly for the girl. You're like, smell good. You know, like she's going to love this, you know, and it's the one time you shower all year long. So like homecoming's a big deal. Like that's the deal here is that idea because they didn't get to do this a lot. It was like homecoming. It was like, let's change the clothes. And so this idea of put on, that's the phrase that we use, put on then. Change something out that's disgusting and nasty and dirty and put something on that's going to be totally noticeable. When you change your clothes, everybody's going, whoa, like you smell good now. Like you just did your little clothes change. Like they knew. And if you didn't, they were like, eh, you still got a couple weeks left. I could tell. And Paul's saying, listen, your life is disgusting and smells and it's full of sin before Jesus. But now that you have Jesus, he's saying, hey, put this new thing on. Put something new on that's going to, people will look at you and they're going to notice. They're going to see a difference. The smell of sin is gone because it's changed you. So he says, put on then, and look what he says, as God's chosen ones. The Colossians that he's talking to in this letter, and they were all about these Greek gods that would like throw lightning bolts and they just were mean to people. They feared them. They just tried to do anything to appease them. And Paul throws this in there as like a jab to them to like correct their thinking. He says, God's chosen you. He chose you. You're not running to him going, God, please forgive us and do these things. God's going, hey, I'm choosing you. There's like a relief. This flies in the face of everything that they believe. And this is what God's done is he's chosen you. He's made you holy. Change those clothes out to take that sin away. Make you clean. Look at that next word. Beloved. Some of you guys still don't believe that God actually loves you. That's the saddest thing. Because he tells us over and over again. You know why you can be different? You know the only way you can be different? It's because Jesus loves you. We say it so much, we're like, eh, just. But he really loves you. And that love is enough to help you take the garbage of your relationships of the past and make them totally brand new. And it shows up in the way you have friends and family and people in your life. Because he's taking your whole identity and saying, Rob, this is a disgusting old Rob. I'm getting rid of it and I'm making a brand new Rob. I'm giving you a brand new name. I'm changing it from sin to righteous. And you will be different and therefore you'll act different. This new spiritual clothes you're going to put on, your friends are going to see that. You're going to be different toward them and toward your family. And it's going to show up and they're going to smell a brand new person. Because it's going to show up in the way you love. Because you are loved. So stop before we go any further tonight. I just want you to stop for a second, because I don't know, seriously, if you guys are just like, oh, tonight, or you came in here with heavy hearts. I don't know, but I'm concerned just talking to you for 3 seconds here that there's something going on. Will you just stop for a minute and just say, God, help me tonight as we hear your word. Speak to me if you have something to tell me. And I want you to think about this as we get into this conversation. What does your relationship with your friends look like right now? As you honestly, in the privacy of your head and your mind, think about how you interact with your friends. What would that look like? If you had to sit down with me and I'm like, hey, just describe what you guys do and what you talk about and where you go and how you act toward each other. What would you say to me? What would your friendships look like? Because Paul's going to say that no matter what they looked like, Jesus wants to make them brand new. And here's what he wants to do. Are you ready for this next part? This is what he does in you. The things that you actually put on. The first thing is a compassionate heart. You know what a compassionate heart is? Matt, and I told Matt I was going to pick on him and Jess tonight, but him and Jess, it makes me think of like the difference of compassion and non-compassion. Like, you got Matt Denyer over here, and Matt, like, with just animals. So you got Matt over here, who's like big hairy hunter man. And, I mean, animal flies by, watch out, it's dead. You know, like, Matt's going to kill it, clean it, and eat it within 5 seconds. It's done. He's not going to feel bad. He's not going to shed a tear. There's no remorse. Matt's just going to shoot it and kill it. Jess, I have literally been in the car with Matt and Jess when we were driving by a dead squirrel on the side of the road, and she bawled her eyes out. She saw the thing and cried. No joke, no lie. I saw it. Many times I've seen Jess well up. If you just say something about an animal, like, that dog's leg broke. Ah! She's like crying. It's like, whoa, sorry. Like, what happened? Like, she's very, very super compassionate toward animals. And Matt's just not. Matt's not that way. Maybe toward dogs. No, not really even dogs. I've seen him kick one. So, I'm just saying. That's compassion. Why does Jess well up like that? Because she could put herself in the shoes of that animal if they wore shoes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you pause. She feels for them. And what we're told here about a compassionate heart, as Christ changes us, we're able to look at the people around us and feel for them, with them. Compassion means to feel with. Now, here's a question. How would this change? You just sat there and thought about how your friendships look and what they're like. How would this, a compassionate heart being introduced into your group of friends, how would that change your group of friends? How would it look different the way you interact with them? If you were able to say, hey, when your friend comes with just a scowl on their face and they're snapping at everybody and everyone's like, what's their problem? Would you be the guy that's like, yo, bro, like, blah, and attack them? Or would you be the guy who's like, hey, we have no idea where they just came from or what just happened. Maybe he got a call with bad news on the phone. Maybe he just came from a class where his teacher just tore into him. Who knows? Maybe his girlfriend just broke up with him. Let's be patient and find out. Are you that guy who's always thinking? Mr. Chupka, if you guys know Chupka, one of my best friends, is that guy. He's the guy who's always like, I'm frustrated with somebody. And he's like, listen, sit down for a minute. We don't know what kind of day they had or what they're going through. Just calm down. Let's find out first. And I'm like, no, I don't want to find out. I just want to fight him. You know, like, I just want to be mad. And he's like, no. And like, he has such a compassionate heart. And he teaches that to me. He's an awesome brother in that. He helps me grow to be compassionate, to put myself in the shoes of other people. Because you really have to care about someone to do that. Otherwise, you just don't care. When you're all about you, you don't care what they're going through. But when the love of Christ comes into you, something changes, and all of a sudden you actually care about what other people are going through. And you put yourself in their shoes, and you love them enough to say, hey, what's wrong? When was the last time you walked up to your friend and was like, are you feeling all right? Like, you all right, dude? The girls, you're usually like super awesome at this. Like, sometimes like way too much. And I'm like, I don't even know what's going on right now. But guys, sometimes we're too tough. Ask another dude like how he's doing. Don't ever be too tough to love people. Because then you stop being a dude. And you're just a jerk. Love people enough to say, hey, I'm going to put myself in your shoes and feel with you. As you hurt, I'm going to hurt with you. As you enjoy and celebrate things, I will do that with you. Friendships that last are done together through a compassionate heart that Christ had for us when he said, I will, even though I'm the king of the universe, feel this with you as I come down and take flesh and feel the same pain you did, have the same sicknesses you had, stub my toe the same way you stubbed your toes, and deal with the same life that you dealt with and die on a cross for you. Just have compassion. Because I want to be a high priest that can relate to you. Do you have a compassionate heart? Next is, it says kindness. You ever see those bumper stickers? It's like, just be nice. Like, I love that bumper sticker because I feel that so often. I just want to tell people, just be nice. You're like, why do you have to be so mean all the time? Tell that to Jordan. No, I'm just kidding. Jordan's never mean. Well, at least to me. I don't know. kindness. It seems so obvious, right? Just be nice. But yet so many of us lack kindness in our lives and the way we interact with people. Are you described by kindness? Has Jesus made that difference in you? This is what kindness is defined as. Readiness to do good. Are you ready to do good for other people? Do you go around looking for ways you can do good for other people? If I had you raise your hand, 99.9999999999% of us are going to say no. Our human nature, we're not designed to walk around and look to see what good things can I do. We just don't do that. We're looking at us. What do I need right now? What do I need right now? But a heart of Christ that develops relationships at last goes around saying, what kind of good can I do for you? And here's the rest of the definition because I left a little out. Readiness to do good even when it may not be deserved. And that person's a total tool bag to you and comes right up and says things to you. You're going to be kind then? Might not be deserved. How about someone you don't even know? I was at T-Flats, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago or a couple weeks ago with some guys. And we're sitting in like the outside area and we're eating. Man, he was there. And as we normally eat, you know, you look down at the table and you just, that's what I do anyway. I don't even know if I was eating, but we were all at the table and we were like in conversation. We're talking. Jordan Hall was with us. He was one of the guys that led that night of worship with Georgiana. He was one of the worship leaders here. And Jordan was just chilling with us. We were all just kind of in conversation doing our thing. And I remember we said something to Jordan and there was no response. And so we look up and we go, whoa, like, where is he? Where'd Jordan go? He just totally disappeared out of nowhere. And so we all look over and like off into like by the stair alleyway area. He's like standing over there talking to this, like, I think it was a homeless guy or something. Like, he's just over there just praying. He's just got his hands on this guy and he's just praying. And then he starts like preaching the gospel and he's like wondering, like, are you okay? Is there something I can do for you? And he's like totally concerned about this random dude he had never met before, who most people are like, don't make eye contact, don't make eye contact. And he's going to come over here. Jordan gets up, leaves his burrito just like chilling there next to me, first mistake, okay? And he's over there just like taking care of this guy's needs. That's kindness. Readiness to do good, even if it's not deserved. Now we're talking about friendship. Don't the people that you call friends deserve it? Even when they don't they deserve it? Shouldn't we be ready to do good for the people in our lives that we call friends? Because if we want friendships that will actually last and not be these superficial, stupid things that you won't remember their name in like 3 months, have a heart of compassion and have a heart of kindness that says, I'm always looking to do good for you, even when you don't deserve it. That's hard. I know I'm preaching some things like it's like so easy tonight. It's hard. But the love of Christ can do that in you. And look what he says next. He says, humility. The best example I can give you of this is Jesus. Philippians 2, the king of all creation. Why should Jesus, who's the king, come die for me? Dirty sinner me. Like, I don't deserve that. You know what humility is? Thinking lowly of yourself enough to serve people. Jesus in Philippians 2 says he came as a servant for you. Like, he served me? I know he died for me, but he served me? Like, how did he do that? He paid something you could never pay with his own blood. Jesus is your greatest servant. And you can either honor the service that he gives you every single day or just blow it off. It's up to you. But his heart was a humble heart that teaches us to do the same. The next is meekness, he says. You're like, meekness, that's a weird word. Like, what's meekness? I looked at it. It says, gentleness in offering help. A non-forceful way to encourage change in other people's lives. So basically, the best way I can describe this is, if you knew Nathan Chapman, I don't know if you do or not, but Nathan used to be an old youth pastor here. One of my best friends, loved Nathan. He had this uncanny ability to call me out on things. And I'd be like, do it again. You know, like, I would never get mad. I was just like, bro, you just told me that I stink at life and I love you. Like, what's going on? This is so weird. I wasn't like fighting about it. I wasn't upset with him for calling me out on this thing. And here's why. Nathan could do that because he was a real friend. And I knew that Nathan had proven his love for me and said, hey, listen, Rob, when I tell you that this stinks in your life right here, it's because I really want to see you better with Jesus. It's not because I want to put you down or hurt you. It's because I want to see you better with Jesus. And so I'd receive it well. That's meekness. That's a guy who could come up and just love you enough that he could shoot straight with you and you'd get it. Now, some of us are really good at shooting straight. Like, we're like, bang, 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 bang. We're just pointing fingers at everybody. Like, I saw you do this and you over there. And we have fun, like, throwing bombs at people. We love it. We're like, oh, yeah, holy rolling. Like, it's cool. But here's the deal. That's not meek. That's not meek. That's just a jerk. Meekness is someone like Nathan who could come up and say, look, I love you enough to speak truth into you. I'm not just looking to hurt you. I'm looking to love you in a way that points you to Christ. What if you started that with your friends? What if in your group of friends that you pictured a few minutes ago, that was showing up where you're calling your friends out in a way that you love them enough to do it? It's hard, it's scary, but you want them to know Jesus well. And you do it with a heart that says, I do it because I love you. Next is patience. Oh man, if I had you guys raise your hands on this one, we stink at patience. Like, we order something on Amazon and every 2 seconds we're like, where is it? Where is it? Like, I want it to be here already. We're like tracking the shipment and all that stuff. And like, we want to see, like, we hate waiting for things. We're not patient people by nature. We want things done. And so it shows up in our lives, in our relationships. We expect people to be like McDonald's window for us. Chick-fil-A, because they're nicer, you know? So, like, that's what we expect. Here's the deal. You're dealing with real-life people though, who have pain and hurt. And as you're a good friend to people, you got to be patient. They're going to hurt you. It's going to happen. And so patience also goes with this next phrase, bearing with one another. The most difficult times to forgive somebody, you're able to do it because you love them enough through Christ. When they hurt you the most, when they do the dumbest thing, you're able to bear with them with patience and say, God has a big plan for you. And I see God's plan in this, and I'm looking to Christ in this, and I'm not just going to attack you back. That's how you end friendships real quick. But the love of Christ says, I will bear with you because I want what's best for you. And I want to see God take root in your heart. This next one's tough. I hope you guys are ready for this one. He says, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Not just forgiving, check this part out. He takes it up a notch. As the Lord has forgiven you, dirty, rotten sinner, Rob Jones, you must be willing to forgive others. Wait a minute. It's one thing to ask me to forgive because forgiveness is just straight up hard. Like, it's hard when someone offends you and you have a legitimate complaint. They should never have done that. They talked about my mama. I want to punch him in the face. Like, that's it. Forgive him. You know, he says, no, don't just forgive. Remember how Christ forgave you? Remember Romans 5:8? Remember how as you were spitting in God's face and you were telling Jesus you hate his guts and you were living your life in a way that just said, God, get out of here. That's when he loved you so much he died for you? Okay, that's how you need to forgive. What? Look, I'm amazed that Jesus could do that. How am I supposed to do that? Because Jesus does it through you. That's the whole point of this. You're putting on his identity. You're letting Christ love in a way that only Christ can love. In a way that we look at Jordan and we're like, Jordan, there's no way you could have done that. That had to be Jesus in you. There's no way. And he's like, yep, exactly. You put my identity on. You put my power on, and I was able to forgive. Forgiveness is so hard. Some of y'all are probably sitting here tonight, and you're trying not to think of the people that you're like ticked off at. Some of you are like, yes, you're listing them in your head, and you're ready to go. Like, you know them. What if you were able tonight just to go, I don't even care what you did. I have a legitimate complaint against you, and I'm still going to forgive you. You haven't even asked forgiveness yet. That person hasn't texted you yet to say sorry. They probably never will ask you, but tonight you're able to go, you know what, I forgive you. That would have to be Jesus in you doing that. That's what Paul's saying he will do as you trust in Christ to do these things in your heart. And that's tough. The next thing he says this, ready? He's like, all right, I know I told you a whole bunch of stuff. I listed all these things. You probably already forgot numbers 1 and 2, maybe 3 and 4. Like, I gave you a lot of stuff. So here's the deal. I'm going to sum it up. Here's what's most important. And above all these things, put on love. You can't remember like meekness and patience and forgiveness and all these things. Fine. You don't have to remember all that stuff. But here's what you do need to remember. Put on love. Love the way Jesus loved and you'll be patient. Love the way Jesus loved and you'll be meek. Love the way Jesus loved and you'll be humble. Because the love of Christ is what's going to do these things in you. That's how Jesus is. When he's in you, that's what you're going to look like. Because he's the one doing it. You want to have friendships that last? Learn how to love the way Christ loved. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Binds everything together. It brings the body of Christ, he says next, into one single body. And it forms relationships that truly last. You want to have friends that are more than just some like cool group? You want to have people that are going to make a deep impact in the rest of your life, like Ricky in my life? Look to the love of Christ. Let it be the thing that binds you guys together. He says, and be thankful. You're able to look up to God and go, I know that was you, because I could never have done that. He was a total jerk to me. But somehow I forgave him. That had to be Jesus working in my heart. I want you to do something for me real quick as we read this next verse. I want you to think about that question I asked you earlier. Think about your friends right now. Think about what hangout time looks like for you when you hang out with your friends. What does it look like? I'm going to tell you what Paul says in verse 16 as you think about that. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So as you sit there and you think, hey, what does hangout time look like for me and my friends? It's like, you know, we do cool stuff. We go mudding and we go like have bonfires and go camping and go, girls, I'm not going to say do hair and nails because I always make you mad when I say that, but do the things the girls do. Like you go hang out. Is it just those things? Like, what does it look like? Is it just, hey, we go play football? Because Paul's saying this. As the love of Christ has come into you guys and changed you, and all of a sudden it's bond you together in these lasting, awesome relationships that really actually matter. They're not just a bunch of fluff. This is what they look like. The word of Christ dwells in you richly. You love the word of God and you apply it to your life. You ever sit around with your friends and read the Bible and pray without it being a firehouse event? Would it be awkward or weird if you were sitting with a group of your friends and somebody started talking about God at the table and there was no firehouse leader there? Y'all are chilling at a campfire, goofing off, being dumb, and all of a sudden someone starts singing a praise song. Are you the guy who's like, bro, you're a loser, stop. It's weird. Or it'd be natural. In your group of friends, what does it look like? Is it just all fun and games? Is it just all... Or is there actual depth? Because lasting friendships are centered around God in a way where as we're chilling, doing life, we use that phrase, doing life together, God comes up. We love him so much, we talk about him, we read his word, we sing praises to him, we're thankful to him, we share with each other, we talk. God comes up without Rob being there, without my life group leader being there. We hang out and God comes up because we love Jesus. And Jesus is loving fiercely through us. He comes up. Because you got a choice to make. I told junior high this earlier. I said, I love speaking messages like this to junior high more than high school. Here's the deal. Junior high is kind of like starting it. We could cut off all the junk at the pass before it starts and kind of get them on the right track with real friendships and let them know what it means. I talk to high school, and half the time I have people sitting in my office who are already like most of the way through it, and they're already stuck. I talk to college kids who I've seen since seventh grade and preached to since seventh grade come up to me, graduated from high school, and go, "Man, I wish I had known this earlier. I wasted all this time with these friends who just trashed my life with their influence. And I didn't stand up and act out my faith. I did it with them." And they sit in my office broken. Like, "Man, I wish I had told you that in junior high." We're here tonight. We're around the Word tonight. I don't care what your relationships look like or look like tonight. The deal is that God can come in and change that now. Some of y'all need to give up this weird fantasy of strange, like these relationships that culture saying, "Oh, they're so awesome." They're not. They're destroying you. They're wrecking you, and you know it. They are distracting you from God. If God's name was mentioned in your group of friends, everybody would get the chills and be like, "This is so weird. What are you talking about God for right now?" When lasting real relationships and friendships should be centered around God. I want to ask you tonight, as you think, "Hey, where am I in that? What kind of friendships do I have?" Will you ask God to break your heart tonight if that's you? You say, "God, just crush my heart." Friends are hard to kind of like shake off in a way, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to say, "Hey, we need to do the right thing." It's hard to shake off those bad relationships and say, "Let's follow Jesus." You need God to break your heart tonight. You need God to say, "Listen, so-and-so, this is wrong, and I want you back." Will you ask Him to do that in you? We believe this stuff. We care about this stuff here. That's why we created things like fire stations and life groups. So that we've carved out spaces for you to say, "This is really important that we're doing life together. That we can be out and be in life." Because all week long we have distractions and temptations and people bashing Christianity and bashing us. We need a group of people that are close, real, lasting friends that will come around us in a group like that and say, "Listen, love Jesus. And speak words of Scripture to us and pray with us and care about us." Because otherwise this battle is going to be rough. That's why God designed this body. So we can lift each other up. 2 Corinthians 6:14, you're like, "Well, how do I know who to hang out with then, Rob? Like, how do I know the difference?" It says, "Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness?" I'm talking about the people that are closest to you. I'm not saying go out to any random person on the side of the street, some drug dealer, and be like, "Hey, let's be like best buddies and like, you know, like lift each other up." And I'm saying find people that love Christ and let them be your core group. But don't let that stop you from going out and sharing the love of Christ with others who might not know Him. There's a difference. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says this. I want to leave you with this. "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another." You're like, "So why did you just spend like the last 30 minutes talking to us about this, Rob? Like, if we don't need to be taught it, why did you just teach it? Why is it in the Bible?" That's a good question. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you experienced the greatest friendship that you will ever experience. You weren't just taught the way I teach up here. You were taught in an experiential way where God literally showed you and lived it out. Where Jesus gave His life for you and God did something so incredible in your heart. That was the lesson. So maybe I remind you tonight of some of these things, but the deal is I'm not teaching it to you because you've already learned it. If you follow Christ, He's already taught you at your salvation what it means to love other people. The question is, are you going to do it? Will you do it? Will you honestly look at your relationships and say, my friends, man, something has to change in my group of friends because we could care less about God. When we're hanging out, he's never there. We don't bring him in our conversation. We don't pray together. We don't do any. If you were to walk in our group of friends, you'd be appalled at what it looked like. The joking, the language, the things we talk about, nothing has to do with God in my group. The question is, do you actually care enough to do something about it? Because Paul's saying, you already know the lesson. You know how to love. You got that when Jesus gave you your new identity. Are you going to do it is the question. So I'm going to ask you tonight. I'm not going to have you bow your heads. I'm not going to have you close your eyes. I'm not going to have Manny come play some inspirational music for you. I'm just going to ask you to be straight up. If you're in that boat tonight and you're like, tonight I want to tell God in a serious way, my friendships like need to revolve around Jesus. My friendships need to include Christ because they are void of God right now. I'm going to ask you to stand up with everybody looking. None of this, I'll just close my eyes and I don't want people to see me. I want you to be bold enough because I want you to say, listen, I mean it so much, I want you to hold me accountable. And so I'm going to ask you guys tonight, if that's you, stand up. Say, look, I want to be the one that says, my group of friends is going to love Jesus. Will you be that leader tonight? If that's you, go ahead and stand up. And don't just stand up because you see people standing up. That's not what this is about. God takes this serious. If you don't mean it, keep your butt in the chair. But if you're like, I want my group of friends to revolve around Jesus and I'm going to be that difference, I'm standing up. Go ahead and do that. I want you to look around you. If you're standing, look around you. These are the people I want you to hold each other accountable to. So often we walk out of this building and we're like, oh, that was a great message. I don't have any idea how to apply this. And now you do. So I want you to see. See what I get to see when you get your eyes closed and all that deal. These are the people around you that are serious about it. Will you hold each other accountable as the body of Christ? How are you going to do life with each other if you don't even know the decisions you're making? Well, there you go. Take a good look. Love these people well. Lift them up for Jesus and make a difference in your group of friends. Psalm 133:1, as you stay standing, says this, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. God loves this. God loves that you have a heart that says, I want to love my friends well and I want lasting relationships. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you because you love us. And God, we tell you, we don't deserve it. Thank you for friends that lift us up, that push us towards you, Jesus. Help us to be those friends that push our friends toward you. God, be the center of our relationships. Let our lips speak your name. Don't let us be embarrassed, especially with our friends, to love you and to talk about you and to sing for you. Make us people that our lives revolve around Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.